that we are alive, and it's just by His mercy. Amen. Yeah, so we started looking at, at some of what we call the doctrine of the last days, and looking at some of the events that take place. And as the Bible says, that it is God's desire that we should not be ignorant. And I know maybe this, you know, has been taught in many places, or maybe it could be your first time or that, but I think at times it's always good to go back, because with the world, the way the world is going, you know, with the events around us, we can always see and tell that the end is near. And as we've been looking at the signs, you know, the signs of the end times, looking at, you know, at the great deception that is taking place, you know, the increase in sin, looking at the signs, the wonders in the skies, you know, the persecution of believers. We've also seen aspects of, you know, of nation going to war against nation, rumors of war, pestilences, you know, earthquakes, famines, and all these things. And the Bible says that, you know, these are just the beginning of birth pains. And of course, what has been described as deception, you know, with so many false teachers and prophets coming about. And so we clearly see that, you know, that the end is about to come. And yesterday, as we concluded, we were able to see that we are told that we need to keep watch. We need to be that, you know, wise and faithful servant who, you know, God can leave in charge of His, you know, of his property, or of His goods, and to give, you know, of His servants, and to give them food at the proper time. And the reason why we study, or the reason why we look at some of these topics, is such that we can constantly be reminded that, you know, on earth we are temporary. On earth, at any point, two will be walking together. One will be taken, the other will be left. And unless we are constantly conscious of that, we cannot, you know, we cannot occupy till He comes. We cannot imagine the haste that God wants us to walk in, you know, because we need to, you know, to be quick, you know, to achieve God's purposes. There are things that we need to, you know, to do, and to find ourselves, you know, faithful, so that God can also find us faithful. Yeah, so today, based on that, we are going to look at the man that we call the man of lawlessness, or the man, or the son of perdition. And based on this, we are going to look at 2 Thessalonians, so that we are not found ignorant. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll read there, and then we'll try and see. I will try and give you some of the scriptures that describe, or that give us a clue about the son of lawlessness, or the son of perdition, or in other words, the person that we call the Antichrist. The person and the spirit of the Antichrist. So that ideally will be what we'll be looking at. Yeah, so in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, now we'll read from verse 1. The Bible says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, let us clarify some things about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we will be gathered to meet Him." You know, he's reminding us of this process of, we talked about, of being caught up and to meet the Lord in the air, of rapture, of how eventually when the trumpet will sound, you know, and the dead in Christ will first rise, and then we who are alive will be caught up into the air as a bird catches us up. And so he's trying to tell us about that time, the final day, and he says, "Don't be so easily shaken," verse 2, "or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Don't believe them, even if they claim to have had a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us. Don't be fooled by what they say, for that day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction." Let me just stop there for now. Now, you can remember that, you know, the disciples lived with the expectation that Jesus was coming back, you know, in their time. And remember when we look at the prophecy of Jesus, when he told them, when you see the fig tree, you know, when you see the man of lawlessness, you know, when you see this the abomination that causes desolation, you know, the sitting of the desecration of the temple, you know, when king sacrifices pigs on the altar and he sits in the temple and says he's God, you know, and he wants everyone to worship him. So they expected, because of the suffering, that Christ was going to come. But you see what arose were other false prophets appeared. And these false prophets appeared and even produced a letter. You know, like the way someone can fake a letter. So they produced a letter that stated that, you know, the end of the world has happened already, or it has begun, we've been left behind, or things like that. But even they were claiming that the letter is from Paul. You know, they had a vision and this is it. But you see, Paul uses this opportunity to tell the church in Thessalonica that, you know what, even if someone claims to have had a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us, you know, don't be fooled by what they say. Why? Because they are signs. And this is what he's trying to tell us, that there are certain things that must happen or will happen, you know, when the end is about to come or towards the end. And he says, don't be fooled by what they say, for that day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction. And this is called the son of, you know, perdition, the man of sin. So different descriptions of him, or different versions. Verse 4, he will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. And verse 5, don't you remember what I told you about all this when I was with you? And you know what is holding him back? For he cannot be revealed only when his time comes. For this lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. The man of lawlessness will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the coming of his splendor. Verse 9, this man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit powers and signs and miracles. He will use every kind of deception to fool those on their way to destruction, because they refuse to love and accept the truth that will save them. So God will cause them to be greatly deceived, and they will believe these lies. Then they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing in the truth. So what we see is that now the man of lawlessness is being given his characteristics, and we are told that one is that he will exalt himself, you know, and above everything else, and defy every form of worship, everything that people call God, and every object of worship. And one of the things that you will see about this time is that there's a lot of hatred, especially against, Christianity. And this is what has been prophesied, that there shall be persecution, great persecution. But then this man of lawlessness, this Antichrist, this son of perdition, he will come and exalt himself against everything. So he will be completely anti any form of worship. And then beyond that, he will also, you know, he will come using what you call deception. You can say this man will come and do the work of Satan with counterfeit powers and signs and miracles. And if you go to Revelation chapter 13, if you can just note that chapter, it speaks about the beasts, you know, the beasts coming out of the earth and having, you know, these 10 horns and having, you know, one head that has, you know, had been wounded. And the Bible, I mean, maybe we'll get time to look at that. And it's a description of the Antichrist. And it says that he was given power by the dragon, you know, and people worshipped the dragon because of him. So, ideally, this man of lawlessness, this Antichrist, will come and he will first deceive people so that he can gain authority. But not only will he deceive, use deception and flattery, he will also, you know, perform signs and wonders, of which he will be given powers from by the dragon or by the devil, of which he will have counterfeit power, signs and miracles, and he will use every kind of deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they refuse to accept, to love and accept the truth that will save them. Now, what does that tell you? That there are two, you know, in the end, when the end comes, when the end is just about to come, this man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, will be revealed. And he will use deception to gain power over the whole world. And also Daniel, the book of Daniel also has a prophecy concerning this, and is referred to as the King of the North. And in Daniel chapter 11, and he, the Bible describes that with flattery, you know, he shall deceive the nobles and he shall gain power by flattery and deception. But then he shall later change. So initially, in the first 3.5 years of his time, he will use deception. He will show all these signs. You know, he will be a man of peace. He'll distribute wealth among the people. You know, he shall be like a world leader, you know, like a leader that unites the whole world. And but at the end of those three, at the middle of those 3.5 years, he then shall change and he shall abolish all worship and he shall sit in the place of God and say that I am the one to be worshipped, and he will want everyone to worship him. And what do we see that is that even the elect will be deceived, or if it were possible, even the elect will be deceived. Remember, Jesus already warned us that. But those that have rejected the truth, because, you know, the truth is Christ. The truth is putting our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, because people have rejected the truth, the Bible says God will cause them to be greatly deceived. Have you ever wondered when you see false prophets and all their you know, all their followers, and you wonder, but can these people see the truth? Can these people see that this is just fake, this is just acting, you know, or this is just a lie, this is just, you know, devil worship, or, you know, use of demonic spirit? You, when you are in Christ, you can see that. But you see, those that have rejected the truth, they have rejected that their faith comes from believing in Christ. What God does is that he hands them over to deception so that they continually fall under deception. Because they themselves rejected the truth, now God puts them on that way of destruction. And the Bible says they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing in the truth. Verse 7 tells us that we're told that, and don't you, okay, verse 5, don't you remember that I told you about all this when I was with you? And you know what is holding him back? For he can be revealed only when his time comes. So the man of lawlessness is only revealed when his time comes. And even though the work, this lawlessness is already at work secretly, it will remain secretly. It will remain secret until the one who is holding it steps back out of the way. Then the man of lawlessness, or the mystery of iniquity, will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the splendor of his coming. So What we believe is that in as much as the spirit of Antichrist is at work, already in the world, the secret, it's at secret, but this man is yet to be revealed. But when will he be revealed? When the one that is holding it back steps aside. And who is holding it back? I believe that it is the church. It is the presence of the church on the earth that holds back this man of lawlessness. But you see, what we believe is that, you know, the man of lawlessness will have a 7-year period where he shall rule. And this is usually what we call the Great Tribulation period. But for 3.5 years, everything will be peaceful. And then in the middle of the 3.5 years, what happens is that we believe that the rapture will take place, in that the church will be taken away, and then that man of lawlessness will now have nothing holding him back. And now that is when he shall now reveal his true colors, and he shall force everyone to worship him. And maybe let's look at some of those verses so that we can tie it up. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and the Bible says that, verse 1, "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world, and this is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God, and such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming into the world and is already here. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people, because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world." So we are being told that the spirit of Antichrist, such a person who rejects God, who does not claim that God came in the flesh, has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and indeed is already here. But we are told, "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people, because the spirit who lives in you, because he that is in you, he that lives in you, is greater than he that is in the world." Those people who belong to the world, they speak as from the world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them. But we belong to God, and those who God knows, who know God, listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. And that is how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. So we can see that it's either you will have the Holy Spirit, the spirit of truth, or you will be under the control of the Antichrist, who is the spirit of deception, and who is the spirit of the Antichrist. And this is what we've also looked at, is the man of sin, the mystery of sin, the son of perdition, the man of lawlessness, and everyone who rejects God ends up being deceived, and God hands them over to the spirit of deception, and they continue in that deception until the end, when they are destroyed. But what God tells us is, beloved children, you are of God, and the spirit of God lives inside you. And just know that he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So even as we see, you know, the workings of, you know, of the Antichrist, and as we see how he shall, you know, perform all the signs and miracles, we shall not be deceived, because we are not after signs. We are not after miracles. We are after the truth. Now, let's also look at Revelation chapter 13. And this I will encourage you, when you find time, to just look at them, and maybe just I'll quickly read Revelation 13. It says that, "Then I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. It had 7 heads and 10 horns, the 10 crowns on its head, and written on each head were names that blasphemed God." So as you can see how we're being described that the man of lawlessness, he will oppose everything that worships God. You can see now the beast that came out of the sea had names on the heads that blasphemed God. So they hate God, they hate everything about God. Verse 2 says, the beast looks like a leopard, but it had the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave the beast his own power and throne and great authority. Remember, the dragon here refers to the devil giving the beast, and giving the beast here refers to the man of lawlessness. And verse 3, and I saw that one of the heads of the beast seemed to be wounded beyond recovery, but the fatal wound was healed. And the whole world marveled at this miracle and gave allegiance to the beast. So it will appear like either he was assassinated or he was killed, but then he came back to life and people worshipped him. Verse 4, they worshipped the dragon for giving the beast such power, and they also worshipped the beast. Who is as great as the beast? They exclaimed, who is able to fight against him? So you can see this man, as he sits on that throne, people worship him. He has his signs, miracles, and wonders. And as they worship him, they also worship the devil, because they say, who is like the dragon, you know, and who gave the beast such powers? And nowadays, you can see there's so much, you know, open worship of the devil without any fear. And verse 5, the Bible says, then the beast was allowed to speak great blasphemies against God. He was given authority to do whatever he wanted for 42 months. And he spoke terrible words of blasphemy against God, slandering his name and his dwelling, and that is those who dwell in heaven. And the beast was allowed to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And he was given authority to rule over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all the people who belong to this world worship the beast. They are the ones whose name were not written in the book of life that belongs to the Lamb. And the Bible says, and anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Anyone who is destined for prison will be taken to prison. Anyone destined to die by the sword will die by the sword. This means that God's holy people must endure persecution and remain faithful. Maybe I will not rush it, so that maybe tomorrow we'll look at this chapter and also to the end, and we'll also see the aspects of the mark of the beast, which is at the end of that chapter. But just to summarize, we see that we are being described so that when the end is about to come, the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, the son of perdition, you know, will be revealed. He will have certain characteristics. He will corrupt the world with flattery, with deception. He will have some signs, miracles, and wonders that will deceive those who are already bound for destruction. He will, first of all, you know, come as a man of peace, deceive the people. And that one you can read in Daniel 11. He will deceive the people. But then he will now oppose everything that claims to be God. He will oppose worship. He will say that he is God and he is the one to be worshipped, and he will blaspheme against God, and then he will wage war against the Christians. He will persecute them, and then people will worship him. But you see, God reminds us that his time is yet to come, because the one holding him back is yet to be revealed, to leave the scene. And when the church leaves the scene, then this man of lawlessness will be fully revealed. The Antichrist will be fully revealed. And once he is fully revealed, then now he will now start persecution. And now the people who will be persecuted are actually the believers who will be left during the rapture. Now what you, and that's an interesting part, because when the rapture takes place, there are people who will be found not ready. You remember the virgins? They are those who will be found not ready. And because they will be found not ready, what will happen is that now they will have to pay it with their blood. And these are the people who will be persecuted, and those destined for death will be killed, and there'll be a great persecution. And we'll look at that by the grace of God tomorrow. So I'll stop there. And my brother, you're welcome. for any reflections and questions. Yeah, over.
No question, no reflection for me. Thanks for the word.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Okay, we shall carry on by the grace of God. Let us pray and pray that God gives us more understanding. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your teaching. Thank you that you continue to guide us and to help us understand the things that must take place, O God. And this is not to bring us fear, but it is to bring us conscious that indeed, in due season, things, the truth shall be revealed, and that, Lord, you shall show us and you shall guide us. And you want us to be ready, O God, that we shall not fall under the deception of the devil like those that are destined for deception. But Father, indeed, we shall know the truth. We shall live by the truth. And indeed, the one that is in us, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And my Father, my God, I pray that as we reflect on your word, as we reflect on your truth, may it bear fruit in our lives. Remember our family members, remember our children, remember everyone that concerns us. Thank you that, Lord, you be with them, you strengthen them, you walk with them, you protect them, O God. Thank you for every need that is required, that, Lord, you provide, you make a way, and we look unto your promises that are yes and amen, O God. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. Even this day as we go ahead of us, keep us and sustain us in all these things. May your name be glorified and be exalted. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom and have a blessed, blessed day.